Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, everybody. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I am joined by Dr. Ray Pritchard out in Kansas City. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Ed.
If I wanted to read along in the Bible with somebody who might be reading the Bible out loud,
just
where would I go?
At random. Just where would I go
for
that? Where would we go? Well, folks, if you are wanting to read through the Bible, and I know we all start in January and we get going Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and that's the end of a lot of good resolutions right there. Here we are in the middle of the month of June, and I have been reading the Bible out loud every day and posting it on the internet, encouraging all of our friends to join with us. And by the way, Ed, I do want to say that more and more of the comments that we get from people, and people from all over the world have joined us, it's a lot of them now are AFR listeners who've heard these comments and have joined us. Well, today we are in 1 Chronicles. And the good news is we finished the genealogy part. So we're through the hardest part of 1 Chronicles. We're into the story of King David. It's fascinating. Anyway, if you want to join us, it's free. Surf on over to keepbelieving.com. Keepbelieving.com. We've got all the videos from January the 1st up through today. They're archived online, keepbelieving.com. They are free. Come join us. We're sailing through 1 Chronicles. And then, Ed, we're going to hit 2 Chronicles. Good stuff. Good stuff to come. So come join us at keepbelieving.com.
All right. Thank you, Ray. All right. Chris Woodward has joined us. Good morning to you. Good morning. If you're living in the Eastern time zone, good afternoon.
Yes. And if you're listening to us overseas, good evening.
Yes, good evening.
I did take a donation one time during a few share-a-thons ago from a lady that was calling us from somewhere in Western Europe, and I only assume she's like on a military base listening to us online. So based on your donations, America, people around the world are listening to AFR, praise God.
Oh, that's very cool. I like that. Well, every once in a while, we will get, I think we had a call one time or an email or something from someone in Uganda. We clearly are a American family association and deal with issues that mostly affect the church and the nation here in our own country. But because of technology, you never know when someone's listening from somewhere halfway around the world. And thank you folks for keeping us on the air, and please continue to pray. Those of you who are listening, pray for the other people who are listening besides yourself. Pray for God to move in their lives, because that is job number one for the Christian.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What kind of stories you got for us, Chris?
Well, just before the end of the break, Fred brought up the fact that, and you guys played the audio of State Senator Scott Wilk in Santa Clarita, California, who urged parents in the Golden State to flee California amid the whole LGBTQIA+ laws and bills targeting children. It's not just people on the West Coast that are fighting pride efforts. There's actually been some stuff in the news cycle in recent days in Boston, in the Boston area, where students at Marshall Simmons Middle School were apparently asked by the school to wear rainbow clothes to mark a Pride Month Spirit Day, as it was referred to. And some students said, nope, not going to do it. Some of them are reportedly... In the news for maybe tearing down decorations and disrupting things and stuff like that. But I do have audio here from a mom of a student at Massachusetts school talking to news station WCVB about the uproar, clip 12.
Some of the kids threw the stickers on the ground. But, you know, I can only speak for my daughter. She didn't want to wear that to school. It's not that she wanted to hurt anybody's feelings.
She says her daughter felt coerced to participate in the Pride event and was offended by some of the messages, like this quote from Tennessee Williams.
Human heart cannot be straight. It is curves and winds. And my daughter just kind of said, you know, Mom, that's offensive to me, who I am straight.
Now, that, again, was a news report from WCVB in the Boston area. I share the link on our Facebook page. But the point of bringing this in is, you know, oftentimes we talk about California, and here we have two examples of opposite ends of the country where people are speaking out and fighting against this movement.
You know, Ray, I wonder if this is in part some of the backlash we're seeing on things like the Bud Light fiasco and Target. Now we see some students in Massachusetts, and of course, I would not encourage students to tear things off the wall or to be disruptive, but sometimes I wonder even, you know, we're always assuming that young people are all buying into this, and of course, this has been very influential with young people, and a lot of young people have been influenced to become either transgender or gender fluid themselves or to be supportive of that movement, but you wonder if there is a backlash that is growing, and I mean, students in Boston? I just wouldn't
of
have
all
guessed
places,
that. Of all places.
Right? Of all places. Look, this is a most encouraging sign. I agree with you, Ed. We are not in favor of the destruction of property, and you better think and think twice before you go tearing something off the wall at a public school. Okay, we all agree on that. But I think it is a wonderful thing to see a rising tide of young people who say, enough is enough. I'm a conservative. They may say, I'm a Christian. I'm straight. Maybe that's all they're saying yet. Maybe they're not making a theological statement, but they're simply saying, I am straight and I'm not going along with this anti-reality madness. There is a natural backlash that is growing across America. I think, by and large, we live in a tolerant society. I think Americans are a tolerant people. We're willing to put up with a lot. But when you take a perverted ideology, and make no mistake, transgenderism is a perverted ideology, and you begin to infiltrate it down into the lives of our children, through the schools, through the media, all the rest of it, Americans are going to react. And so I'm glad to see this happening. I hope more and more students will speak out.
Yeah, and Chris, now you're online a lot, like all of us are here. You read articles. I, if they make it available on a particular web page, I will go down to check out comments. Because now that's not like a scientific poll, all right? You're going to get people who are outspoken anyway, and sometimes you get trolls and all that kind of thing. But I do go down to read under stories, especially if they're on quote-unquote secular websites, and not just Fox. I'm just talking about all kinds of different places where I will read a story. And I am kind of surprised at the number of comments made in those sections where people are starting to say, listen, I don't care what you do in your bedroom. I don't care how you want to dress. Doesn't matter to me. You do whatever you want. This goes back to what Ray's saying about us being a pretty tolerant society. But I'm seeing more and more often people saying, I'm tired of it being shoved in my face, and I'm tired of being insulted for my views. Do you see that kind of thing as you read stories and look at the comments?
Yes. Definitely. A lot of people have said, you know, when it comes to maybe like the Supreme Court ruling on so-called same-sex marriage, you know, some people were like, I don't like it, but that's the way the court ruled or whatnot. Now you're seeing like efforts saying from people on the LGBT side of things, the radicals, kind of continuing to force things down. Like, it's never good enough that you got a ruling or a statement of something from the president. Now you really want everybody to just completely accept it, and you want them to like verbally accept it. You want them to acknowledge or embrace, celebrate what it is that you're doing, which is a bridge too far for many people that said, okay, you can do what you want in your house, but don't expect me to do it in mine, in the schoolhouse and whatever, the church house even.
Yeah, and Ray, just one last comment on this. I think one of the things that may be turning the tide a little bit, I'm not naive. Corporate America's all in. The colleges and universities, for the most part, are all in. Many politicians, especially in the Democratic Party side, all in. All right. And increasingly, the public schools are all in. So I'm not naive about the hill that has to be climbed here. But I will say that, Ray, it does seem that the transgender movement may start to drag down the whole LGBTQ movement over children. That seems to be when everybody's saying, OK, whatever you want to do, that's fine. But the minute you start coming after kids like this California law, mm-hmm. which is basically a mimicry of one that they're pushing in Minnesota, I think, or at least in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
That seems to be a bridge too far. And the whole LGBTQ or, you know, RST movement may get the backlash. The whole movement may get the backlash because the trans community is demanding access to kids.
Look, there's a big difference, isn't there, between you're 25 years old. You're a guy. You now think you're a woman, right? Okay, that's sad. That is that's sad. That's wrong. That is perverse. But it is one thing for a 25-year-old or a 30-year-old or 35-year-old adult in their right mind, so to speak. They make that decision. We all understand that, and we navigate around that as best we can. But you take that ideology, and you touch our 12-year-old girls, our 12-year-old boys, you touch our 9-year-old kids, you touch the young people of this country, we're going to have to go to war. I mean, morally and spiritually and politically, there's a great, great divide between what adults do and what happens to our children. Mm-hmm. And I think most Americans, and again, guys, we're not just talking about, quote, conservatives, and certainly not just religious conservatives, and certainly not just evangelicals, but Americans understand, keep your hands off our children. And I think this is the reason for the growing backlash against this transgenderism madness, which has swept the country.
You guys mentioned, as Ray just pointed out, the transgender madness that swept the country. Unfortunately, you can't even talk about this stuff and raise questions about it now in the White House press briefing room.
Right.
And the reason I say that is because this is a good bit of audio. It's 90 seconds, but we want to play it in its entirety. What you're going to hear is a montage of EWTN reporter Owen Jensen, so a reporter for a Catholic-based news outlet, asking Karine Jean-Pierre things about transgenders. And then you're going to hear some reaction to all this from author and public commentator Douglas Murray. Clip 9.
What would the president say to parents out there who have daughters, let's say from high school, for example, who are worried that their daughter may have to compete against a male, a person born male, and there could be directly in physical athletic competition and worry about their daughter's safety?
What you're alluding to is basically saying that transgender kids are dangerous. That is dangerous. That is a dangerous thing to say, that essentially transgender kids we're talking about are dangerous.
Well, it's a dangerous question to raise, certainly, because it's one that she can't answer and she can't address honestly, that's for sure. If you were, as opposed to the tiny percentage of transgender people in the country, if you were one of the trans ideologues, one of the gender doesn't exist, we don't know what sex we are ideologues, it turns out that trying to push men into women's sports was a really bad tactic. Because as opposed to other things they could have pushed on, this is one that just affects so many people. Mm-hmm. And it's not mythical. You know, I know that people like the White House, you know, spokesperson might like to pretend that it's all made up by, you know, people on the right, people after a culture war. Mm-hmm. It isn't. It's girls at college losing their scholarships. It's them losing the places that they deserve from the work they've put in. And it's parents and others noticing it. So yeah, it's a dangerous question to raise, but it's actually one that needs to have an answer.
Well, once again, I'm just going to say, whatever you're going to say, if you say it in a British accent, it just sounds better.
You should start doing Bible readings from this point in a British accent. Right?
I'm like, if I could, yeah. I would.
You would. Well, listen, first of all, what Karine Jean-Pierre said is so disingenuous. Okay, she has to know. I have said she's incompetent in her position. She needs to have a different job in life because she's bad at this one, all right? I don't know whether that was just incompetent speaking or if she's just twisting what this reporter asked on purpose. But the reporter was not asking, it was not stating that transgender kids are dangerous as a blanket statement. Mm-hmm. He was asking if a transgender female, quote unquote, which is a biological male,
right,
plays sports with girls, that could be dangerous to the girls because of collisions. Mm-hmm. A full-grown boy hitting a girl on a soccer field or in a rugby match is dangerous to the girl. Karine Jean-Pierre twisted that to make the question say something it has not. Listen, a couple of years ago, I think it was actually before COVID, so it's probably 3 years ago now, but there were referees. I'm not sure if they're called referees or umpires in rugby, but they were quitting in the UK because the injuries to girls committed in collisions by biological males who were playing on the girls' team, because they said they were trans women, that was forcing umpires, referees to quit because these girls were getting separated shoulders and broken sternums and things like that. So that is a legitimate question being asked by the reporter and a disingenuous answer.
You know, I don't know how they could go about fixing this problem, but it almost seems to be like if you ask Karine Jean-Pierre based on her lifestyle choices, okay?
She's a lesbian.
Yes. And, you know, based on the fact that she chooses to live her life as a lesbian, you're not going to get a fair and balanced answer out of her about anything involving LGBTQ things. It would be like asking me, a Baptist, what I think about full immersion baptism. You know what I'm going to say.
Right.
And she uses things like we are under attack all the time in this country. Like, are you speaking for President Biden or is this you talking to us?
Right.
And I think that's kind of what happened there. She went full Karine Jean-Pierre versus what Joe Biden might say about something.
Yeah. All right. What else you got? What other stories?
I want to mention this because Fox has it, and I'm sure they're not the only news outlet. And the reason I bring it up is because we are a nonprofit, and we push things and celebrate things like religious freedom because it's one of the greatest things about our country. In the news today, there is a study out that finds Alabama and Texas rank the highest in the nation for religious and regulatory freedom for nonprofits, faith-based nonprofits. Which states do you guys think might rank among the worst in terms of religious freedom?
Which states were amongst the best?
Alabama and Texas.
Alabama and Texas. All right, Ray, I'll let you go first. I have some picks. Which states do you think are worst?
I got
worst
Connecticut. I got Connecticut, and I got California.
I think Connecticut and California are great picks. I agree with that. I will also toss in Washington State and Massachusetts.
Oh, neither one of you is correct. According to the Napa Legal Institute.
Napa?
Yeah, Napa.
Where you buy auto parts?
Yeah. But according to their first annual Faith and Freedom Index, Michigan and Nevada rank the lowest for religious and regulatory freedom. And this has to do a lot with the massive amount of paperwork that governments require nonprofits to sign, seal, and deliver.
Do you have a list of the things that they considered in ranking these states?
Yeah. The group awarded scores to each state based on 14 factors in the category of religious freedom and regulatory freedom.
Give us a top five.
Okay. I'm looking through here to make sure because I don't want to leave anything out. Audit requirements, fundraising requirements, states with modern non-discrimination laws, which incorporate sexual orientation and gender identity, those lost points on the religious freedom side of things. So it's a wide variety of categories here.
Okay.
I'll share the link here so that way people can get more on the story. But it was surprising to me to see Michigan and Nevada. I, like you guys, would think California, Massachusetts, California, Vermont. California, unfortunately, gets lumped in as just, it gets written off, even though there are many great churches there and a lot of pastors that we know and appreciate and have on American Family Radio from time to time. Jim Garlow, Dr. David Jeremiah, Lancaster Baptist Church out there in the LA area.
But what's up in Nevada? What's going on out in Vegas and Reno?
Well, it is home to Sin City, and possibly the Oakland A's are moving out there. I don't know if you guys have followed that.
Probably has the A's are involved in this somehow. We don't know how.
Are the Oakland A's moving out to Vegas?
Joe Lombardo and some other governor there in recent days, they announced a deal to try to get a ballpark built on the Strip. Which is ironic because I'm old enough to remember the fallout over Pete Rose gambling,
yes,
betting on baseball. And here we are 30 years later, and we're putting a Major League Baseball stadium possibly in Las Vegas, of all places.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to sidetrack us from our important discussion. I had not heard that. And
if you live in Alabama or Texas, which reportedly are the freest places for religious freedom, please be in prayer over these events there in Nevada.
By the way, since we mentioned Las Vegas and we've mentioned Nevada, I will probably most of our listeners don't care, but the Vegas Golden Knights, the team based in Las Vegas, won the Stanley Cup.
One of the fastest franchises
within 6 years. Mm-hmm. They became an expansion team. And they won their first Stanley Cup. This is actually their second visit to the Stanley Cup Finals, and they defeated the Florida Panthers.
The Kraken four are games now on the one. Clock.
Yeah, the Seattle Kraken.
No
pressure. Anyway, you mentioned Vegas, and so I thought I would mention that. What else? You shoehorn a couple of other stories in here, or what?
Transitioning, if you will, from sports to game shows. As some people may have heard or read earlier this week, Pat Sajak appears to be finally letting it go in terms of hosting Wheel of Fortune. And now we're in the knee-jerk reaction clickbait era of who's going to replace him.
Right.
And the scuttlebutt today on the internet, where you can't put anything that isn't true, there are some supposed short list of people to replace him. And according to one thing, I'll share the link here in a sec, because I always like to back up what I share on the show. Ryan Seacrest, of all TV personalities, appears to be on the supposed short list to replace one Pat Sajak. Ryan Seacrest is kind of the go-to now. He's the Dick Clark of the Gen X generation, I guess. So anytime there's an opening, they always want to throw him in there. Here's what I, and I'm coming at this from I've been watching Wheel of Fortune my entire 41 years on this earth. Pretty sure my mom even watched it before I was born. But I almost don't want them to continue the show without Pat and Vanna, because any game shows that change in terms of the hosts, in my humble opinion that nobody asked for, they're never the same. They're not as good. And with all due respect to the great people that do go on to host shows like Price is Right or Jeopardy or whatever else, it's not as good. I would rather just watch the reruns of Wheel of Fortune.
Ray, you have an opinion on this? I'm just going to say, this is going to horrify some of our listeners. I may have watched Wheel of Fortune two or three times my whole life. It's just not the only I've actually really watched much is when someone flubs up so badly that it goes viral on Facebook.
Mojave
or
dessert. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. That doesn't count. Yeah.
What's your thoughts about Pat Sajak?
Look, he's an amazing guy. Basically conservative.
Hilarious Twitter account, if you don't follow him already.
Yes, is basically conservative in the things he puts on his Twitter account. An impossible job to follow. The only thing more difficult, who's going to follow Vanna White? I mean,
is she still on the show?
I don't know.
From what I can tell, she's still staying, although they have replaced her. There was one period last year where Pat was out for medical purposes. They had Vanna move over into the host slot, and then they had Pat's daughter be the letter person.
How did Vanna do during that?
She seemed like she got better through the week, but it almost came across as like this was an unexpected turn of events, and they just made do.
All right. Well, folks, that's where we're going to leave it. We're going to leave today's issues on that really earth-shattering. With 41 years he's been the host, something like that. So
amazing.
I'm 41 years old. I mean, I've never lived in a world without Pat Sajak.
All right, folks. See, not everything's hard-hitting news. That's all the time we have. More great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Hope you will join us and listen to AFR throughout the day. And Lord willing, we'll see you right back here tomorrow.